Barcast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back to the States.
I'm still acclimating, but I don't know if you can hear it, but the garage project is still going on, so I'm immediately being forced into being acclimated to it again. So, here we are, man. I had a great time in Europe. I didn't see a lot of vehicles. We did more of a vacation trip than a business trip. So we were outside of the city, and the roads are tiny there. Everybody was driving on the wrong side of the road, so I didn't really make mention of it.
Yeah, you guys are kind of off the grid. You went out and you did the wrestling convention.
Yeah, it was a wrestling and MMA autograph signing. It's the largest one in Europe. It was in Manchester, had a great time, saw a bunch of good friends. And then the next day we went off to a place called Nailsworth, Stroud, little towns in the Cotswolds. And we just kind of hid for like 3-4 days. As you can see, I posted something that we ironically ran into. It was the wacky soapbox derby races.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, man. We're just walking through this town and shitloads of people and these cars, man. It was just like a downhill kind of a, soapbox derby. And they were all, individually geeked out, man. They were pretty funny, man. And the dude that I took a picture of looked as if he could withstand like a 180-mile-an-hour crash, as prepared as he was with his helmet and all that shit. But it was fun. We had a great time.
What was going on? Was it like a town fair, or was just this soapbox derby event?
It was just the soapbox derby event. It was kick ass. I mean, the whole little town was packed with people. And, we took it as an opportunity just to walk through the cool town, look at antique shops, and we stumbled across this wacky soapbox race. It was fun, man. It was all for charity. And it was obviously a family event.
What a weird thing to run into, but a fun thing to run into when you're like out of town, off the grid,
It was so European. It was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really cool. I mean, to stumble across something was an advantage because there's more people there. You get more taste of where you are, but for it to be automotive content, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. While you were gone, I took a quick trip to Detroit to meet up with the guys from Ford for the debut of the 2024 Ford Ranger. Very cool piece. And, we didn't have this for a while in the U.S., just the mid-sized truck market, just the bottom just kind of fell out and everything was gone. And except for maybe Tacoma, Tacoma was still around. And then eventually we got, like the Colorado. But Ford wasn't there for it. But they did bring us a couple of years ago the Maverick. They went small, which people love because, with its hybrid and its great gas mileage and around town, just doing small jobs, workers around here, a lawn and pool and plumbers and like I see the Maverick everywhere, which was great. But where would the Ranger sort of fit into that? And honestly, I kind of give credit to the boom in off-roading and overlanding and what's going on there. So they were able to really put an emphasis on the new Ranger.
Well, it's funny because we were talking offline and you made mention that, a couple of years ago, we saw one of the Ranger Raptors at Goodwood.
Yeah, and the hill climb.
Mm-hmm. And I had made mention that on one of Wanda and I's gallivanting trips through the Cotswolds walking, I had made mention that, the roads are tiny as hell. We hadn't seen any full-size pickup, and I peeked over the cobblestone, and it looked like a full-size Raptor, but it wasn't. And I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't remember seeing the one at Goodwood, and you brought it to my attention that they're over there. And the more I think about it, the more brilliant it is that they've been over there for a number of years, because
Yeah.
if you're ever going to need it anywhere, that is the perfect place for it, because a full-size truck's not going to be able to maneuver anywhere.
Yeah.
But a little Ranger Raptor would be pretty badass. So, I mean, kudos to them for having it out there. That's brilliant.
So yeah, over the past couple of years we saw it overseas, right? And the Ranger has been available in 18 countries and all of Europe. And this past year in 22, the sales have increased 112%. And so far in the first few months of this year, they've sold 86,000 Rangers globally. So it's a pretty big success. So they decided to bring it back here, and we've got an all new 2024 Ranger. So this is essentially a global platform. It's got a facelift and a few things that we like here in the US. There's some things with the lights and stuff like that, obviously, that as rules change. It's going to have a 2.3 liter EcoBoost engine and the 2.7 liter EcoBoost engine. And a lot of this stuff you're going to see is very similar carryover from the Bronco. The Ranger is also a little bit bigger. It's a little longer. It's a little wider. Mostly the track is wider and the wheelbase is longer, which will be a more comfortable ride. And if you use your Ranger for off-roading and stuff, moving the front wheels forward a bit gives you a little bit better approach angle, right? Because you don't have more overhang coming off the front of the vehicle. So, it's good. It's interesting. There's going to be an XL, an XLT, and a Lariat model, and then of course a Ranger Raptor, which we'll get into in a second. Overall, the suspension has changed a bit. They made some real improvements. The rear shocks and shock mounts have moved they moved outward. It improves ride, improves control, and improves ground clearance. As we said, better approach and departure angles. It's a little bit beefier all around. It'll tow 7,500 pounds and has 1,800 pounds, 1,805 of payload capacity. The engines that we talked about, the 2.3 liter will be 270 horsepower and 310 pound feet of torque. And the 2.7 liter will be 315 horsepower and 400 pound feet of torque. And I don't believe there is a manual transmission offered yet. I don't think there's a plan for it, but who knows, what can happen. But there is the 10 speed select shift automatic transmission. There's going to be a bunch of variations of it. There's going to be, like we said, the XL, XLT, and Lariat. There's going to be, the shift on the fly, four by four system. It's all electric, as we'd expect. There's inside, we either get the standard 8-inch screen or we get the full 12.4 inch screen. It's very integrated into the dash. It doesn't have that big tacked on kind of iPad look. And that was actually, it's funny because we've been talking about that for a long time. And then Ford's like, we heard what everybody said. We don't want it tacked onto the top of the dash. So, I think customer feedback was saying, let's get that a little more integrated into the system. The new Ranger will have the embedded 4G modem, which means over-the-air updates, and the Ford Pass on your app, which is cool. So we can, you can not take your keys with you if you don't want to, if you're going for a walk, going for a hike, or doing whatever. So there's some pretty cool stuff. It's going to have all the technology you can think of. It's got the trailer coverage and the trailer control and park assist and like we said, the pro trailer backup assist. I think they were talking about a hookup that will allow a camera on the back, so when the bed if the tailgate is down, you can still see rear view, and if there's a trailer, you can still see rear view. And the bed itself is going to be a little over 4 feet wide between the wheel well. So if you want to lay down 4 foot wide sheets of drywall or wood or whatever, you're going to be able to do all of that stuff. So Ranger's cool. Ranger is definitely cool. Ranger Raptor. The Ranger Raptor is going to have the 3 liter EcoBoost, 405 horsepower, 430 pound feet of torque. It has a new four wheel drive system, electronically controlled on demand two speed transfer case, front and rear locking differentials, all to improve its off road capability. They tested versions of it kind of quietly with at Baja. The suspension is the 2.5 inch Fox Live valve shocks. And one thing that I thought was kind of interesting is there's a Watts link on the rear suspension. So it has the live axle, and the previous gen Mustangs, for example, had a three link system with a Panhard bar, and then the Watts link connects to the sides of the chassis, and then it has a link in the middle, and when it goes up and down, it kind of
Wow.
it centers the axle, and it works amazingly well off road and on road. So the on road handling characteristics are going to be good for this vehicle. So it's going to be pretty cool. The Ranger itself doesn't have the Watts link. It's only on the Raptor, which was one of the first questions I asked during the presentation. We were standing next to a Raptor, and somebody goes, "There's a Watts link in the rear." They kind of just glazed over it real quick, and it has this. And I kind of start looking underneath the truck, and I'm like, "There's a Watts link in the rear." And then they go, "Oh, that's on the Raptor." I was like, "Okay, I got you. I got it." Where it's probably more useful in because of the added power and stuff. The different modes, of course, the drive modes, we have the normal, we have the tow haul, the sport, slippery, off-road, rock haul, rock crawl, and Baja. Those modes also change the exhaust sound. I just put up an Instagram story, but I'll put some more stuff up where when they were showing us the Ranger Raptor, everyone was standing around going, "You're going to fire it up, right? Like, you're going to throw some revs at it. Let's at least let us hear it." You know, and so I got a little bit of that on camera, so I put that out there.
Nice.
It has it comes standard with the 33 inch tires, the BFGs, which are great. And then I was trying to find the exact specs on this being bigger as well, but the added ground clearance, and then I want to say with the flares, the fender flares, and moving the wheels out the track even more, it's about 3 inches wider than the Ranger, which was already wider than the previous gen. So, it's cool. It's getting in it kind of feels like the right size now. And again, being in LA, and I've been driving the Ford Lightning, which I do enjoy driving it. It's still big. You know, every time I go to a parking garage, I got to pay attention to the clearance. I got to look for the sign and the clearance.
Yeah.
And it's kind of big to park, and because everything's a compact spot out here. And then when they presented Ranger Raptor, and I got to sit in it for a minute, I was like, this is pretty nice. They did a pretty good job with the interior. And this is kind of interesting. They specifically spent time on the interior and said, "Oh, you know what? The door panels and the thickness of the door itself has been reduced. So you get more room sitting in the vehicle. You get more shoulder room, more elbow room." And they're doing that just by thinning out what's there, going, "Oh, you know, that door panel shouldn't stick in. When you close the door, it shouldn't come in 4 inches, right? Like, you know, for your armrest and everything else, like, give it a little bit more room." So they said, "How do we make this a mid-size truck, but make it feel like a larger truck overall?" And I think they did a pretty good job with it. Now, obviously, where you are, you got enough space and land and room, and that the
You ain't gotta worry about that shit.
yeah, you don't have to worry about it out here. But this is an interesting it's an interesting thought, and I think this thing fits in pretty well also with the full size raptors being so expensive. This raptor, although not inexpensive, is about $56,000, and I don't know if there's going to be many options with it. There's probably just a handful of things, so 56,000 is the
Not
base
too bad.
price. Maybe it's 60 grand.
That doesn't sound bad.
No, it doesn't sound bad. I think it was good. I got into. We'll post some more videos, some more images of the thing and all of it. And although we're spending time on Ranger Raptor because that's all the fancy news, don't discount the Ranger as well. It's a pretty nice new truck. It's a pretty capable truck. It has a lot of the features on the interior that we saw in the Raptor. Just the Raptor's a little bit different trim, different colors, and the Raptor logos, all the trim stuff that you would fully expect with it. But yeah, that was it. It was pretty nice deal. I think it's gonna do well for them. They didn't hit us with like, oh, it's gonna be hybrid, it's gotta be electric, gotta be whatever. Nobody seemed to want that for the Ranger. So they're just going all in on the 2.3 and the 2.7 and the 3 liter.
Nice.
Which is actually interesting because I kind of wanted to get the follow-up from you, and I guess by way of gauge, he's been driving the Bronco for a little while, right? He's got the 2.7,
Yep.
and now that he's got some time in it, what's the overall verdict on the Bronco? You guys like it?
He loves it. Yeah. I haven't driven it that much. I think it's a shit box, but it's perfect for him. It's perfect for, that sector, right? It's a great vehicle. It's accomplished what he needed to be accomplished. He enjoys it exponentially. Now, quite obviously, he wants it faster. He wants it higher. He wants bigger tires. He wants more lights, but who doesn't, right? So, but
Right.
We had a number of recalls, which is a pain in the ass, having to drop it off and leave it at the dealership. But as far as it's functioning and it being something that he's liked, we have no issues with it whatsoever. It's been a great vehicle.
I had Richard Waitis come by a week or two ago, and he left his Jeep at home because I think he was doing something on it. So he grabbed one of the Magnaflow vehicles and he grabbed the Bronco that they have all outfitted with all of the gear on it. So we did spend a couple of minutes on walking through the Bronco that they have built. And his feeling on it was, there was a few things that he said to the early models. There was a few recalls. There was some glazing happening on the hard tops. So
Growing
there's,
pains, right? I get it, 100%.
he said overall, because he did the trip, like what did he like the hour and a half trip from Oceanside up here to LA. He stopped off at Hoonigan, on the way, and he's like, just on the road, it's still a smoother, more comfortable ride compared to his Jeep. But off road, he feels like his Jeep is still a little bit more capable. It's
I
still,
think so.
and it's the platform's been around more, and there's still more aftermarket support for it. So it's kind of interesting. And then Aaron Hagar, right? He was all in on the Jeep. He's got the Gladiator, the 4-door pickup truck version. He's been outfitting it like a madman and testing stuff for overlanding, which he's in Lake Tahoe, so he does quite a bit of that. Like they'll just he and the wife and his son will just be like, hey, it's Friday, it's been a long week, and
We're out of here.
let's just get off the grid. And they'll just load up in the truck and they'll just drive an hour and they'll just camp and then they'll stay out for the weekend and come home. But he's doing like a 5-week trip in July. Like he and a bunch of friends are putting a crew together. And they're going to Alaska. They're driving all the way to Alaska and then overlanding in Alaska and then driving home. So he's been working on the Jeep, getting it outfitted, but he's smart. He's been testing everything along the way. Like he takes the drive from Lake Tahoe to Southern California, gets stuff outfitted, and then on the way home, he will camp for a night and get used to stuff and setting it up and how quickly does it take to set up the tent and does the heater work and the is the fridge in the right location and is that really working? Is he blowing any fuses? And he's going to do that a handful times before
he knows from experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely does. And it's funny because we kind of got into that as well. It's like us with high performance cars, bench racing. You know, we can get online. It used to be the magazines, right? But now we can get online and go, you know, I kind of like what's going on here. I'm going to go with a certain supercharger or AFR heads and these roller rockers, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And on paper, it seems great, but we don't really know if the combination works. And so you're testing and tuning and swapping out stuff, and which is why we find ourselves when we build cars and drive them, like you've done a few times, I've done with the 95 Lightning. We keep going back and going, okay, that's great. I liked what happened here, but I don't love it. So now I know what I'm going to change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it, right? You can personalize. Yeah.
That's going to be kind of interesting for Aaron as well. But yeah, I wanted to get Gage's insight onto that. Of course, more power is always on the menu, but that's kind of easy. I feel like there's a tune and
that's easy
when he's ready for it. I don't know. I mean, today is his birthday.
He's getting a hack squat machine. No. So he's getting a hack squat machine, and his vehicle was dropped off 2 days ago at Expel to fix the writing that was put on his hood, and then they're gonna tint his windows, and he's all good. New tires, he's all good.
Yeah.
Good birthday to be a Goldberg.
What do the other kids drive? His friend's gotta be driving stuff now.
It's all over the place. From a two door old school Lexus. To a full size, 99 Ram similar to mine, to new Fords. I mean, they run the gamut, and we're out here in Texas, so it's truck centric, mostly. So,
yeah, mostly trucks is what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. So, before we wrap up, the other thing I want to touch on real quick is, I just handed off the third Genesis vehicle that I've been testing in a row. This one was their flagship sedan. This is the Genesis G90. This is not electric. This is not hybrid. This is more of a conventional vehicle. It's their top of the line vehicle. It has all of the amazing luxury features you would imagine it would have. The interior is gorgeous. Heated and cooled and massaging seats, which seems to be kind of the go-to these days. Plenty of space in it. The back seat obviously can fit three people, but if you fold down that armrest, it has a full touchscreen in there and has cup holders. It kind of gives you the feeling of captain's chairs. Everything's diamond stitched, rear heated and cooled seats on it. It had the sunshades all around on the sides and the back, which were manual. And then the rear is powered, so you can go for full privacy in the back, almost limo-esque. They took a page out of the Rolls-Royce playbook, and when you get in the vehicle, instead of closing the door, you can hit the button and it power closes. You can kind of get in. You know what I'm talking about.
You need that. Yeah.
Now, the Rolls-Royce makes sense because it has the suicide door, right? Like if you get into the Wraith and you hit the button, because you can't really grab the door and do it. This one has it. But what was kind of odd is the electric motors that are in there One good feature is the door doesn't like slam close. This was one of Adam Carolla's gripes, was where at his house, it's on a very steep angle on his driveway. So when he opens the door to get out, the door just slams closed like on his shin, right? Because he's parking with the nose in the air and it's such a pain in the ass. And we talked about some vehicles like Aston Martin, like using magnets and stuff to hold the door in place.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's the electric motors or something in the doors of this vehicle that hold it in place, which is good. But what's weird is when you get out of the car and close the door, it's really tough to close the door. You can't just give it a little push and it closes. You have to like push it with your hand the whole way. And I kept thinking, like, is there a button someplace like where you can hit it and it closes by itself? It has the soft touch, so when you close it and when it gets close, it sucks the door in. But it just seemed weird. It just seemed odd to me that you couldn't just, you know, just get out and swing the door and close it. So I guess there's no really winning this battle. It's like the doors are too light, or the doors are too heavy, or they don't close well. It's just kind of a weird thing. Now, when you get into the flagship vehicle, you're looking at about $90,000 starting price for the 3.5 liter. They have an electric supercharged version of it, which I was driving. Now you're getting into about $100,000. And this has kind of come up a few times as I was discussing it. $100,000 for a Genesis. And you're like, I don't know, man, that seems kind of expensive. But on the other hand, they've really upped their game. Genesis cars are really nice. And I would say compete for sure against some of the other German and Japanese luxury manufacturers. You know, the smaller EV, the GV60, that compared to the Audi that I talked about, the Q4 e-tron, the Genesis is way nicer. So in those regards, $100,000 doesn't seem like a lot if you do consider this still competitive with the luxury car manufacturers. And then the other thing is cars are fucking expensive now. You know, like we're trying to get things like Maverick and even entry level Ranger, like we were talking about, you know, sub $40,000. But I mean, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, I'm driving an F-150 Lightning, you know, and it's the Platinum Edition. I was like, this is a $100,000 truck. Like, what the hell am I doing with $100,000? You know,
but everything is 100 grand.
Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, it's nice. Is it nicer than this Genesis? Is this Genesis nicer than my truck? I mean, obviously they're different and the truck still has all the leather and all the good stuff in it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm paying a premium for the EV powertrain, which obviously is expensive to produce, but $100,000 truck. I don't know. I don't need $100,000 truck. I love the truck, but I don't need $100,000 truck. And everything's getting really expensive. So I think the G90 is a wonderful car. It was comfortable. It's got the air ride. It's pretty quick. It's like 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, 5.1. It's not meant to be a race car, but it's kind of up there with Mercedes S-Class, Lexus LS. I think if you've owned those cars, you typically are in love with a particular brand plate. Like a lot of us like certain brands. I don't think you go from a Mercedes S-Class to a Genesis G90. But maybe you do from Lexus, or maybe you do from even Audi or BMW. So,
well, that says a shitload after, you know, they've only been around for a short period of time.
I just, what they have done over the past few years for sure has just been really impressive. And that's definitely caught my attention. And I think the attention of customers and a lot of the other reviewers. I'm talking to Alistair and stuff as well. By the way, Kia and Hyundai also, right? All sort of all part of the same family. I'm testing now, which they just dropped off, is the GV70 electric. So the GV60 was the small all-electric SUV. Now I've got the mid-size all-electric SUV. And they sent it to me in the gray, like matte paint. So it's got this kind of cool matte finish to it. Right when I pulled up here to my warehouse, the neighbor came by, and the wonderful male lady, she was like, "That's a cool looking SUV." She's like, "I like that color." And I was like, she's like, "What is that?" I was like, "That's the Genesis. And this is a factory color. You can get it this way." And she's like, "I like it." And she says, "It's all electric." And I said, "Yeah." And then I walked in and I realized that's exactly what Genesis wants you to do. They want you to go, "Oh, I like that. What is it?" Right? It's funny because all the Buick commercials are doing that, but Buick's been around forever. People just forgot that Buick's around.
That
Everyone's like, "Is that a Buick?" Yeah. Well, Genesis is, it's actually happening, you know? And the same thing happened when we drove the big SUV a few years ago to Barrett Jackson in Vegas. When we drove into the convention center, the security guard let us into the back because we were bringing Pravago back there. And he's like, "Oh," he's like, "I love these new Bentley SUVs." I'm like, "I do too, but this is a Genesis." And I'm
doesn't matter.
sure they love you think it's a Bentley. So a good.
That's why they designed them the way they did from the
Yeah. Yeah.
front. Right.
Anyway, I think that's about it. We'll touch next week. We'll touch on the GV70 electric Genesis and let you know what it is, and then I'm done with them for a while. We did four in a row for 4 weeks, and yes, but so far so good. So far I'm impressed. Not everything is perfect in them, but there's a couple little quirks that I brought up on shift and steer as well. But overall, I like those vehicles, and they're doing well. I can see getting into one of those vehicles. And if you're worried about like resale value and whatnot, it's like, listen, if you want, you can grab this GV70 electric SUV, you can lease it, you can turn it in when you're done and have a perfectly nice vehicle for a few years. Before we wrap it up, I just want to say thanks again to everybody who's been buying Bravago. We signed more stores in San Diego. We put them up on the website. Seltzer Nation, they issued out all of their annual rewards for the year, and there's tons and tons of reviews and rewards of every flavor, every brand, everything out there. And I'm happy to say that all three of our flavors won awards across the board.
There
And
you
our
go.
vanilla orange cream won best vanilla flavor overall of everything out on the market today. So
Nice.
and it you'll read the reviews as well, and it's meant to be different. That was the thing. It was meant to be different, not like the other hard seltzers. And they said, you know, it doesn't taste like a seltzer. It's more of a like fruit punch type flavor, but we use the monk fruit and very little sugar. So I thank them for that. I think it was good, honest reviews. I appreciate the awards that they issued for us, and we hope that you guys will go online and give it a try. You can buy it online, or you can pop it in one of our stores. We're trying to grow the stores. We've got Southern California. We got plenty of stores in San Diego. We're working on New Jersey is starting to pick up. I think there's still a few stores in Washington State, but the website we ship to 38 states. So there you go. Yeah.
Remains.
Congrats. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up. Is there anything I'm missing?
No, just
I don't hear people in the garage, but I see them fussing around behind you on camera. You're at the finish line. You're
you know what? Truthfully, maybe it's not even going on. Maybe it's just the continual noise that I've been hearing in my head.
You've been daydreaming about this noise. It's never going away. All right. Well, we'll catch up next week. And until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.